We're going to turn our attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. It's where we're going to start. And then we're going to go over to Matthew, chapter number 3. So if you want to find those, if you're a fast finder, you find Ephesians, chapter number 1. You want to put your finger there and find Matthew 3. Put your finger there. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. We'll start off where we started off on Sunday night. Bible said in verse number 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I simply want to stop right there in verse number 18. The Bible says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, I want to posit a question here in this. It said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Who's he talking to? Who is he talking to? He's talking to the saints. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the faithful, to the people of God, children of God, the called out, the elect. He's talking to them. And he tells the church, the believers, the called out, he tells them that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We need a revelation. We need understanding. Amen. Praise God. Just being a child of God, can I say it like this? Just being a child of God is not good enough. And I'm going to preach about it tonight. And what I'm going to preach about is there are so many things that you don't understand in your life. There are things that you go through. There are things that you face. And you don't understand them. I would submit to you tonight that that's because there is a work in the Spirit that is going on. There are things that you cannot see, but that doesn't mean that you cannot understand it. And that does not mean that you should not understand it. When Daniel began to pray, and he gave himself to pray, and he did not understand why his answer was not coming, he knew that God was faithful, and he knew that he was under an attack, but he did not understand why he was not getting an answer. And when the angel came unto him, the angel gave him clarification and told him why that the answer was being held up. And he gave Daniel understanding. So there's things that you don't understand why you go through, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't understand it. And so let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter number 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 16. We're going to read on into chapter number 4. Beginning at verse number 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. It did not say that it was a dove. It said that it was like a dove. It just talked about basically the gentleness of the Spirit. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Praise God. We've kind of camped out around that mountain of temptation right there, and Jesus in the wilderness, and we've talked about it with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and such, dealing with the spiritual man and overcoming him by the word. It is written. We're going to talk about it from a little different angle here tonight. Amen. And I simply want to preach here for a few minutes of time. Simple little thought. Understanding what I don't understand. Understanding what I don't understand. Praise God. I want the Lord to help us here tonight. Amen. I want the Lord to help us here tonight. Would you just put your Bibles down, and would you open your heart and your spirit unto the Lord, and would you just ask God to help you to be able to understand? Ask God, God, let a spirit of revelation come unto me that I might understand your word, that I can take this word and apply it to my life and understand some things here today. Come on, I feel the spirit of revelation coming in amongst us here today. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. God, I have all confidence in you, Lord. And I am believing, O Lord Jesus, that you would reach down into this place here tonight, and that you would open our eyes, God, that you would, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened tonight. God, that the things that we don't understand, O Lord Jesus, God, that there would be clarity within them, Lord. And even though that we may not be able to understand them to the dotting of the I and to the crossing of the T, God, help us to understand the principalizing factor that is in it all, O God. Bring revelation, I pray, Lord Jesus, and I'm praying, God, that you would kiss this service tonight with your favor, with your blessing, with your anointing, and with your power, Lord, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you put your hands together tonight and just magnify the Lord? Hallelujah. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, Jesus. Amen. Now turn around and shake two or three people's hands. Amen. And tell them, amen, it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Good to see them. Amen. I feel like God's going to help us here today. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Let me start off by going back into Sunday night's message, just simply because that we are on a mission to be able to understand God. Amen. I understand that the mystery of godliness, and there is all kinds of different mysteries that are within the scripture, and the mystery of godliness is one. God was manifest in the flesh, and there are some things that is can be tough to be able to understand. Words that are given simply for the mystery of godliness, that not necessarily in the Bible, but words that we have in our language to be able to help to understand or to facilitate the understanding of who God is. In this, we have also recognized and admit that to be able to understand God in his completeness is basically an impossibility, because the more that we magnify God, as in make him bigger and begin to look into him, the more intrinsic or the more detailed he becomes. And we begin to see all or many of the thousands of details that are there. Scripture and reading the scripture, we oftentimes just simply read so fast that we miss what is given unto us on the scripture, on the pages of the scripture. But the Bible does teach us that we are to acquaint ourselves with God. In other words, we are to give ourselves to knowing God, and that we are to be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto us. We acquaint ourselves with him, and the purpose is that good shall come unto us. The Bible said in Psalms 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. And let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, because the Lord is great and a great king above all gods. In the end it said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord God, our maker. And so that is the purpose of all of this, to worship God. We are created to worship the Lord. We understand that the trees and all of the rest of the earth declares the glory of God. And we are created to worship God. We need to make sure that we understand that praise and worship are not the same thing. Praise is commanded by God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But in John 4, the Bible teaches us that God is looking for true worshipers. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You can simply praise God by making noise. But not all noise that is made is praise. Praise God. But there is a deeper mode that we get into that is called worship. And worship is simply based on the revelation of who and all that God is unto us. Our worship is revelatory, or the relation of relationship with God. And the revelation of God is necessary, amen, to be able to help our worship. Our worship will only go as high as our knowledge of who that God is. If God is very small unto you, if you have a small understanding of who that God is, then your worship is going to be small. Amen. And praise God. Let me just say it. There is no other way. There is no other way. Amen. You can say what you want to say. Amen. But I will stick with you. Amen. Throughout the day. And I'm going to give you scripture after scripture after scripture. Amen. That goes to show us. Amen. That our worship is predicated by our revelation of who that God is. I believe that there is a danger that we can fall into. I'm not saying that we have fallen into that, but we could take a look at Samson, and we could see that Samson knew the vows of his God. Amen. Can I talk to you today about the Pentecostal vows? Amen. The doctrine of the oneness, we know. The doctrine of repentance, we know. The doctrine of baptism in Jesus' name, we're acquainted with. The doctrine of infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, amen, we're well versed in. Amen. The doctrine of the separation from the world, amen, we are acknowledgeable of. We understand that. We can go to scripture and we can prove that. Amen. The doctrine, amen, of the second coming of Christ is known amongst us, and we believe that.
We know the vows of God, but sometimes I wonder if we know the God of our vows. Praise God. I want you to think about it along these lines. Amen. Do you worship or do you praise? Amen. Because that there is baptism in Jesus' name. Do you worship or do you praise because that you know that there is one God and Him alone is worthy of worship? Do we worship or praise because that we know some of the other doctrines? We get excited because of the doctrines of the Bible, and rightfully so. We need to be, because it is these doctrines that separate us and give us our hope for tomorrow. Praise God. But there is a God that is in heaven that is saying, I simply believe this. Amen. Are you worshiping because of who you are, or are you worshiping because of who I am? Praise God. Amen. Sometimes apostolics can get caught up, amen, in the pride of who they are. Amen. And they can feel really good about their sleeve length or their necklines or their hemlines. Amen. They can feel really good about the, amen, no cutting of hair. Or if you're a man, you've got a nice haircut. Amen. And you can get caught up in that. And we can get caught up in the vows of our God. And before long, we're going to have a haircut cut like Samson did. It is imperative that we know the God of our vows. He said, acquaint yourself with me and be at peace. Amen. And you shall know good. Praise God. Acquaint yourself and good shall come upon you. And so there is a power that is invested into simply understanding. And that is one thing that the devil does not want you to have. He does not want you to get revelation. He does not want you to get clarification. He does not want you to have understanding. That is why there is such a strong proponent of false doctrines. Amen. Some doctrines are so extremely far-fetched that you and I stand around wondering, how can anybody believe that? But yet there's thousands upon millions that would believe that. And then there are other doctrines that are out there, amen, that you've really got to look at them. You've really got to examine them to see, amen, that there is something wrong with that. Having a conversation with a young man one time, and he said, so-and-so believes this, and this, and they say this and this, I don't understand it. It doesn't sound right, but I don't know how to really come against it. And I said, listen to me. I said, that is Calvinism robed in humanity right there. Amen. That is nothing but a Calvinistic doctrine. And so there are sometimes that there are doctrines or methods and modes of preaching that are right there. Amen. That you may not be able to put your finger upon it because of lack of understanding and say, this is what's wrong with it, but it just doesn't feel right, doesn't sound right, doesn't seem right. And so what do? You seek for understanding. Amen. And understanding is power, because when you understand some things, amen, the devil can't pull it over on you anymore. Amen. He may have used it once or twice against you, but when you understand it, it's harder for him to come against you in that wise. He's got to change up some things. Praise God. We talked about, amen, the power of understanding in this. Amen. Pilate looked at Jesus and he simply said, do you not understand that I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And Jesus said, you have no power except that my Father would give it unto you. What he was saying is, Pilate, you may have power, but I have understanding. And you don't understand that you are nothing more than a
upon. Hey, man, for some reason, I think that was the wrong word. I was thinking of, prawns and shrimp and something. I don't know. I guess I'm hungry or whatever. Can't be the fact I don't even like those. Amen. Praise God. But Pilate, you don't understand that you're nothing but a pawn in my game. It's not a game right here, but this is something that I designed from when the world was framed. I put it all together, and you don't understand all of that. The devil did not understand it. For the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, that if the princes of this world had known, what was going on, if they would have known that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Bible says they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so so we can understand this, and this is what our Bible is given unto us for, so that we can understand that. Praise God. I want to understand everything that I can understand. Amen. If I can understand it, I want to understand it. And I understand that there are some times I just need to walk by faith. Come on. I understand that there's some times that I just need to walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is what pleases God. Amen. And so I am just going to, I'm going to be at peace. Acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. I am going to be at peace with this. And you say, well, you know what? This is so contrary that you would say that you don't understand some things. And yet tonight you're going to be preaching about understanding what I don't understand. Amen. Praise God. I just tell you right now, I don't understand everything I understand. Something like that. Praise God. Amen. But I believe that the Lord is going to help us in all things. Praise God. And so tonight I want to dig into this. I would just say for all of our Bible study students, all I did was I just took this passage of scripture that we're going to talk about here, amen, from Matthew 3 and 16 all the way through Matthew 4 and 11. And I just did exactly what we've been talking about, what we've been looking at, and I just dissected it, just delved into it and just tore it apart and just looked into it and researched and such like that. And so, amen, here it is. Praise God. And so with this, we have to go into other portions of scripture where it is spoken of or paralleled in the same thing. The same story is being told, maybe from a different perspective. And we can be able to put the things together to find out the total conclusion of it all. And so in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, we would see that this is the moment that Jesus was led into the wilderness. Matthew, chapter number 4, Jesus is led into the wilderness. Mark, chapter number 1, Jesus was in the wilderness there. So, but I want to take your attention to the book of Luke, chapter number 4. And in Luke, chapter number 4, there is something there that I want to bring out to put in into our study here tonight so that we can have a better understanding. Matthew, Luke 4 and 1, Bible said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Amen. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Now there's two items that if you don't look carefully, you're going to see and you're going to think and you're going to come to the conclusion that Jesus overcame the devil by the word. And that's all that he had was he just said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But you cannot take out this part here where it says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Why is this important? Because I'll just tell it to you list. Amen. The devil doesn't care how much Bible knowledge you have if you don't have Holy Ghost power. Amen. Amen. The devil knows the Bible. So the devil doesn't, he's not very worried about how much Bible that you know. Amen. The Bible said that the devil knows that there is one God and he trembles. He believes in one God and he trembles. And we're going to read here in just a little bit that he quotes scripture unto Jesus. He quotes Psalms 91 verses 11 and 12 unto Jesus. And so it's not
just important. Amen. I said it's not just important that you know your Bible, but you need to make sure that you're full of the Holy Ghost. If you're going to be victorious, amen, as Jesus was victorious, you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Let's look into this just a little bit further. Amen. One without the other is going to be extremely dangerous. If you've got the Holy Ghost with no knowledge, amen, then you're going to be susceptible to every wind of doctrine that comes by your way. Amen. If you're not sensitive to the Spirit that's telling you, amen, that this isn't of God. You've got to know. You've got to know. You've got to know your word. That's Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. You've got to know your Bible. Amen. Praise God. And so you can't just say, well, I got the Holy Ghost and I'm going to be good. No, you're not good. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost and you've got to know your Bible. Can I just say it to you like this? You want to get to know your Bible really good? Find somebody to teach a home Bible study to. I'm telling you right now, you'll get so sharp, you'll get so equipped, because you'll be so afraid of failing and falling and faltering, amen, that you're going to study and you're going to know that word before you ever go in there to give that Bible study. You're going to know it frontwards and backwards, and you can almost, you got it just about memorized. You could just about quote every part of it, and it just sticks with you. Amen. Praise God. And so you cannot have one without the other. Amen. Let me just say it like this. You cannot be full of the Holy Ghost without the Word of God. Amen. You cannot get to the place that you say, you know what, I'm just going to pray and fast and pray and fast and pray and fast. Let me just tell you something, honey. I don't care if you've been on a 30-day fast. Amen. If what you hear in the Spirit after 30 days of fasting doesn't line up with the Word of God, amen, your 30 days of fasting isn't doing you any good. You got to have a balance of both. Amen. You cannot just have the Word of God, because we've already talked about that. The devil has the Word of God. So you got to have the Word and you got to have the Spirit. Amen. With the Spirit, I don't care if you speak in tongues like a Chinaman, fast twice a day. Some of you got it, some of you didn't. I don't care if you fast twice a day or three times a day, amen, or 3 days. It doesn't matter. You got to have a balance of everything, amen. The devil, amen, when he comes against you, you got to know the Word, and you got to be prayed up. You've got to be full of the Spirit, amen, because the Word and the Spirit, they agree, and they work in conjunction one with another, hand in hand with each other. They balance each other out, basically holding the other accountable. Praise God. Don't come tell me what the will of God is for your life if it doesn't match up with the Word of God. Because the will of God is never going to trump the Word of God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so the Bible says that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And so we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. We're understanding some things that we did not understand. And then the Bible says in Mark chapter number 1, the Bible says it simply like this. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Praise God. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit. We're going to come back to that here in a moment. But in Mark chapter number 1, I'm helping somebody. I'm helping a whole lot of people out here right now in this little section. You need to take notice. Amen. I'm not boastful. I'm not proud. But I know God's been talking to me, because God's been helping me. God's been helping me to understand some things. Praise God. And so I know somebody's going to get some help out right here. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Then was he led up of the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. Go to Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 12. And the Bible says it like this. And immediately. Amen. We're not talking about a progression of minutes, hours, days, or something like this. Jesus is baptized. He comes up out of the water. He's got water running down his face. He comes out of that water upon dry ground, wiping the water out of his face, and he is led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark chapter number 4 says, and immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. I don't know about you, but when I look at that, led of the Spirit and driven by the Spirit, I don't see two of the same things there. I see two things opposing one another. Amen. I see somebody, amen, being led of the Spirit, and I see another one being driven by the Spirit. So which one is right? I'm helping you out here. You need to understand this here today, because there is quite a difference in being led of the Spirit and the Spirit driving. Amen. Matthew and Luke said he was led of the Spirit. Amen. I just want you to know, you don't lead anybody, amen, unwillingly. But Jesus submitted to the plan. Jesus submitted to the perfect will of God. And he allowed himself to willingly be led of the Spirit. Amen. So Matthew and Luke write concerning the willingness and the submission to comply. So where does Mark fit into this? Mark writes concerning the unction and the necessity of the Spirit. It takes both. Praise God. Amen. There are times, amen, that you just say, you know what, I don't know. But you feel that unction. You feel that drive. You feel the Spirit driving you. And you say, you know what, I just got to do this. Amen. That is what Mark is saying. Mark's writing to the Romans. The Romans are very powerful. And the only thing that they understand is power. Amen. That's why Mark would write and he would say, make straight the path. Amen. Forget, amen, all of these curves and all this and the up and the down. Just make straight the path. Because that's the way that they had. The Roman emperor, to get from point A to point B, the fastest way was a straight path. And that's what Mark said. Make it straight. They understood. And so here they understand when the Spirit drives him. Amen. And that's what you need to understand. There are times in your life. I'm not talking about a specific time. I'm talking about multiple times. There are times in your life that you feel the unction. You feel the necessity of the Spirit. Amen. As God begins to deal with you and God begins to double down on you and begins to press you. Amen. There's things that you feel in yourself. I need to get rid of these things. I need to get these things out of my life. Amen. There's times that you feel, you know what? I need to do this. I need to submit to this. And it's the pressure of God. Why? I'm going to talk about that here in a moment. But God knows what the wilderness holds. And God knows. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. God doesn't only know what the wilderness holds. Amen. God knows what the wilderness is going to represent to you. And if you're ever going to be anything in God, you've got to go through the wilderness. You've got to make it through that wilderness. Amen. And God is on the other side saying, if you only understood what's going to happen to you in the wilderness, you wouldn't be so reluctant to go. Amen. But then something gives inside of your spirit. Amen. And you begin to humble yourself and you make yourself willing. Amen. And you begin to submit to the plans, to the law, and to the ways of God. And when that happens, God doesn't leave you. God doesn't forsake you. God doesn't kick you in the seat of the pants and say, go on into the wilderness by yourself. But the Bible says that then he was led of the Spirit. God led the way. God held his hand. God, amen, made straight the path. God walked into it. You go back to Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 1, and you'll see that God was in the ark, and he said unto Noah and to the rest of them, come thou and all of thy family into they are. God's not going to ask you to go somewhere that he himself is not willing to go. God's not going to ask you to do something that he himself is unwilling to do. But in this particular thing, God knows what's coming.
Praise God. Praise God. And sometimes we need that little push. Sometimes we need that little urge. We need the unction of the Spirit, and thank God for it. Because there's times that you walk into places that you shouldn't be in, and God didn't lead you in there. But you feel the unction of the Spirit. So, whoa, wait a second. Sometimes you walk into a conversation, amen, that you shouldn't be in. And you feel the unction of the Spirit driving you out of it. And you basically think to yourself, you know what, I need to dismiss myself from this conversation. Praise God. Amen. As a new convert, amen, you begin to think about things and begin to put on some things. And you feel the unction of the Spirit as the Spirit drives you into holiness. But God is such a gentleman that he doesn't force you into it. He may give you a little extra nudge and a little extra encouraging. But ultimately, it's going to be you. Amen. But God, thank God that the man Christ Jesus submitted himself to the perfect plan of God. Not knowing what the wilderness was going to include. Not knowing and everything that the wilderness was going to have in it, but yet he knew if he leads me into it, he's not going to forsake. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what's going on in your life. The devil wants to magnify the wilderness, but God is looking to magnify something else in your wilderness, and God is going to bring understanding into your wilderness if you will submit to him and allow him to lead you into that place.
Praise God. Now, let's get understanding. That's kind of my foundation opening remarks, all right? Now I'm ready to start. All right? Let's get understanding so that I can understand what I don't understand. Matthew chapter number 3. And we pick up reading there in our text. And I want you to see something. Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 17. It's the last verse there. And he says, now Jesus, here's the storyline. Jesus goes to John and he said, John, I have need that you would baptize me. John, you need to baptize me. And John's like, whoa, wait a second. You know, I have need that you would baptize me. And Jesus said, no, this needs to happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. This has to happen. And so John submitted to the will of God, and he takes Jesus down into the Jordan River, and he immerses, he baptizes Jesus, and Jesus comes up. Water is flowing down his face, dripping off his hair onto his shoulder, running down. And this is what happens. Lo, a voice from heaven. Thank God for the voice from heaven. Somebody says, man, I wish I could hear a voice from heaven. Let me just put it to you like this. We hear a voice from heaven every time somebody preaches. Not just me. I happen to be the mouthpiece. Amen. But every time, amen, somebody preaches, we're hearing the voice of God in our lives. Amen. And we need to take note of that. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, what does he say? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But that's what he says. He said, you, Brother Henry, I got to find somebody to pick on. So it's Henry or Daniel, one or the other. So I've been picking on Daniel a little bit, so we're going to pick on Henry tonight. Tonight's Henry's night, okay? All right. This is what happens. A voice from heaven comes down and says it just like this. You are my beloved son. You got that? Just like that. You are my beloved
son. Go to the very next verse, 4:1. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And the next verse. And then the tempter came, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, Satan. The devil comes and he says what? If thou be the Son of God. You see how quickly that happened? Here's a voice that says, you are my beloved son. You got that? Good. Because very, very quickly you're going to be tried in that very thing. Because just a few days around the sun, and the devil comes up and says, if you are the Son of God. Hell has a unique way of trying to counter what heaven declares. And so we take a look at this and we say, I am a child of God. Is that not what the Bible declares us to be? We are heirs with Christ. We are children of God. But is there anybody in here that has never had the devil come up to you and say, if you're really a child of God? Has that never happened to anybody? No, every one of us has experienced this. And we're going to dive deeper into this. But you need to be prepared. You need to be ready for hell to question your identity in Christ. Because if he can separate you from your identity, he's going to destroy you. Because without your identity, you don't have power. You don't have faith. You don't have hope. Without your identity, you've got to remain and remember who you are. Praise God. If I can tell it to you like this, amen, that there is an announcement from another world that tells you who you are. And hell says, you really don't believe that, do you? Because that's what happens. Now, I want you to recognize this right here. Amen. When the tempter came unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Did he question his identity? Not really. He stated it. He said. He didn't ask. He said, are you? He just simply said, if this is who you are. He questioned hell's authority. I mean, he questioned heaven's authority. But heaven declared, thou art my son in whom I am well pleased. And here comes the devil. And he's saying, you don't even really believe that. You know why you don't believe that? Because you're on rock bottom. If you are the child of the king, then why are you going through the things that you're going through? If you are the child of the king, then why isn't everything falling into place for you like it's supposed to be falling into place? And you are wrestling with who am I when just a few days ago in a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night Bible study or a Tuesday night prayer meeting, all of heaven seemed to clamor and bells were going off and the joy of the Lord was there and you were feeling the intoxication of the Spirit as it was upon you and you felt like you could charge hell with the water pistol because you felt the affirmation of the Spirit as heaven was telling you, hey, you are a child of God. But Wednesday or Thursday morning or Monday morning comes about work and you get there and all of a sudden all of hell breaks loose against you and the boss isn't as kind as he should have been and all these other things are going to, and here you are and the devil is just saying, you know what, if you was really a child of God, then shouldn't these other things be working out for you? If you was really a child of God, shouldn't you be making a little bit more money? If you was really a child of God, shouldn't you be at more peace?
peace than you have in your mind right now? If you were really a child of God, why are you fighting, amen, such distress and distraught and all of these things in your life? Amen. If you were really a child of God, why are you struggling with some things right now? Come on, this is just the plan of the devil. Amen. No man goes to war except first that he begins to look into his enemy. And he tries to understand his enemy. And he understands his strengths. And he understands his weaknesses. And he understands, look, I don't know. I'm counting the cost of this. And you know what? I think I need to get a little bit more help. Or you know what? I think that we can do this without too much hurt and stuff. And so you count the cost. Let me just tell you, the devil counted the cost when he started approaching you. Amen. He counted the cost, amen, when he started coming up against you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he's going to challenge your identity. Praise God. We're not here to really look at all the four what's and all of that and stuff like that. We've already talked about all of that. Amen. So here we are in whatever verse that is, number three. So let's go down to probably verse number six. Oh, there it is. Now we get past the first one. We're on the second one. We're on the second one, and what happens again? What happens again? And saith unto him, the devil says unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Amen. Just because that you won one battle, just because that he came unto you and said, make these stones bread, and you said, oh, you know what, I've got a little bit of Bible knowledge about that, and the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. And just because that you was able to give him some Bible, and just because that you were able to push him back a little bit, does not mean that he is over. You know why he's not over? Because he hasn't gotten what he wants. He has not gotten what he wants. And so he comes back the second time, challenging your identity. And he says, if thou be the Son of God. Now here's where it starts getting very interesting. Here's where the devil shows up with the Bible under his arm and a message in his mouth. You need to beware of false prophets. Amen. Can I just say it like this? You need to beware. Oh, I just feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. I got to say it. Amen. You need to beware of anybody that wants to tell you what the will of God is for your life. Amen. Outside of your pastor. Uh-huh. Yeah. When you're searching for the will of God and seeking the will of God, amen, it's not time to get on Facebook. It's not time to call all of you, amen, the reprobates and all the backsliders and all those other things. When you're trying to find the will of God, amen, it's not time, amen, to go find friends and family and all this to figure out what the will of God is. It's not time for all of that. When you want the will of God, amen, you got to get down to an altar and you got to seek the face of God. And God hath given us pastors according to his own heart. I'm not here to toot my own horn, but somebody's got to sound it loud and clear. I want you to know that before I ever make a decision with my coming and my going, I'm on the phone with my pastor. I'm talking to my pastor. And I'm saying, Bishop, how do you feel about this? Amen. And there's times that Bishop says, no, you need to back off about that. Praise God. Amen. I remember calling Brother Johnson one time and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, we've been fighting hell so hard and for so long. I said, me and my wife, I said, we're fasting twice a week. Amen. I'm fasting or she's fasting or we're fasting, but both of us, we're fasting twice a week. Amen. We're almost fasting more than we're eating and stuff. Amen. And my pastor told me, he said, stop it. Stop fasting? He said, stop it. He said, you're in such a state of depression and discouragement because of fasting. You need to pick up some food and start eating it. You need to put it in your mouth and you need to absorb it. Amen. So that you can have the joy of the Lord. You are in a moment of sackcloth and ashes and you have driven yourself into a state of despair. Stop it. You know what that was? That was the voice of God coming loud and clear. Is fasting wrong? No. Is fasting twice a week wrong? No. But in this particular moment, the Holy Ghost clued in on my pastor and said, this is what's right for right now. Praise God. Amen. I know people that fast so much, and you want me to tell you what fasting really does? It acquaints you with the spiritual world. Amen. And sometimes that spiritual world isn't divinity. Amen. It's other spirits. Amen. I have known people that have went on a 7-day fast, walked out of a 7-day fast right into a bed of fornication. Amen. Simply because two like spirits, amen, connected, and they were, amen, in communion or in contact. They realized that the one had a spirit of fornication upon him and immediately met another one, amen, and was given into that. What is going on? We need the voice of God in our life. Is it wrong to go on a 7-day fast? Absolutely not. Amen. Jesus went on a 40-day fast. Elijah went on a 40-day fast. Moses went on a 40-day fast. Amen. But everything we've got to have, the mind of the Spirit. And there's sometimes that the devil comes around, amen, with a little bit of scripture and a message. And he says, oh, let me tell you what the Word of God says. And Jesus looked at him and said, not only am I full of the Holy Ghost, but I've got the Word. And not only do I have the Word, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, but the Word also says, amen. And he began to preach to him an anointed message. Amen. You can't give in when hell questions your identity and questions your identity and then comes with you with a little bit of scripture and a message. You got to stand strong. You got to stand strong. You say, what do I got to stand on? Thou art my son in whom I am well pleased. I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. You're still a child of God. I don't seem like it. It doesn't matter if you seem like it. You're still a child of God.
Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, he said, you shall be the head and not the tail. And there's people looking at God saying, I don't feel like the head. I don't feel like the head. I feel like a tail. Uh-huh. Come on, I'm helping somebody right now. Amen. God said, I'm going to bless you. And you're saying to yourself, I don't feel blessed. God said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to set you upon high. And you're telling yourself, I don't even feel like I can stand on my own 2 feet. Amen. And you're questioning your existence. And you're questioning your hereabouts. You're questioning everything. Amen. And the wilderness is a dark, dank place. As a matter of fact, in the book of Mark, I believe it is, the Bible said that he was in there with the beast. Amen. Fear was trying to overwhelm him. His identity was being challenged. And all of these things was there, and he wasn't feeling too grateful. He wasn't feeling too hopeful. He wasn't feeling too victorious, because it seemed like the devil was getting the best end of the deal about everything. And that's where some of you are. Come on, that's where some of you are. You've been fighting. You've been fighting. You've been struggling. It's been dark. Amen. The wolves have been howling. The coyotes have been screaming. The lions have been roaring. And you're thinking to yourself, amen, does anybody know where I am? Does God even care? Amen. Come on. God already told you you was a son. God already told you you was a child of God. God already told you who you was in him. God already told you, amen, I'm going to give you power over all the power of the enemy. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't have any power. I don't feel like I could do anything. God said, I'm going to set you on the top. And you're sitting around looking at your circumstance and saying, God, I've got to look up to see the bottom. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what life is doing with me right now. I don't know. I'm in turmoil. I don't know if I should do this or if I should do that. Why are you questioning? Let me just say it like this. I do not make it a habit. I do not make it a habit to pray to God once a week and say, God, what's your will for me? You know why? Because I already know his will for me. And you know what else? If it changes, he'll let me know. I am going to do nothing but grieve the Spirit when I start praying about things that I know I shouldn't pray about. God, I don't know. I mean, is it time for me to move? Come on, that's what the devil wants to put into your mind. That's what the devil wants to infuse into your spirit. Well, I don't know. I just think that I should leave. That was not of God. Come on. That's not of God. No, it's not of God. God, amen. The devil is the one that wants to separate you from the body. The devil is the one that wants to separate you, amen, out from under the umbrella and the protection of the shepherd and of the pastor. Amen. The devil wants to drive you into a place. And you say, well, here I am, and you're telling me it's the will of God. There's something that's going on, and I've come to reveal what the devil is trying to do in your life. And so Jesus comes back and he tells him the word. He said, but the word also says. Now the devil gets extremely mad about all of this, because he does away with all the pretense, and we change tactic. And we go to the third one. And the Bible says that the devil took him to a high place. This is indicative of the things of God. All of the things of God are high places. And the Bible teaches us that. The Bible, amen, what about in the book of Isaiah? I think it's chapter 12. Anybody remember there where he says, I will be like the Most High. And what else did he say? He said, I will ascend up high above the stars of God. And so God's got all these high places, and the devil is trying to get up there with that, because he's going to be like God. And so takes him up to an exceeding high mountain. Now let's stop. What time is it? Somebody tell me. 8:40. All right, I got to try to bring this to a I got to land this plane, try to land it in 20 minutes. I make no promises, but we're going to try. All right? Stay with me. God's going to help us. So let's dissect this. Let's dissect this, because we read it too fast. Okay, so the first thing I want to look at, number one, we've already looked at the high mountains. And he said that he showeth him all the kingdoms. That's the first thing that should pop out to us. Kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All right, let me just tell you something. Contrary to popular belief, Tawanda is not a kingdom. Okay? And even though Henry may think Whitewater is not a kingdom, when we say kingdom, what do we think? Augusta, right? No, we don't even think Augusta. We don't even think Wichita. If we're going to talk kingdoms, we could probably talk the United States of America. Why? Because the United States of America is a powerhouse. It's one of the most powerful armies in the world. In America, all they really have to do is start flexing their muscles and saying, hey, I think you need to behave over there, and people start backing up, because America is a kingdom that is to be reckoned with. All right? I can say China is a kingdom. It is. It is. It probably boasts the biggest human army, the largest human army, and they're well advanced in technology. They understand. They are a kingdom to be reckoned with. And we could talk about other places. We could even talk about North Korea. Say, well, you know what? That's not a great kingdom. It has power. If you don't believe me, ask their citizens. Their citizens will tell you, there's a lot of things that I can and can't do because the kingdom says. All right, so we could talk about a lot of kingdoms. So what does a kingdom represent? A kingdom represents power. A kingdom represents authority, and it says right here, and the glory of them. Them what? The kingdoms. Okay? So the kingdom represents power, authority, and glory. All right? Let's go to the next verse. Now, this is what we have to tie together. Because this is what the devil says. The devil says unto Jesus, all these things will I give you. Now, here's the first thing that you're going to think of. Well, it isn't his to give. It actually is. It actually is. I understand that the world, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But when Adam fell at the fall, the devil became the prince and the power of the air. He is the prince of the world. Ultimately, God's going to come through his kingdom and he's going to reign on earth and he's going to take the authority, the power, and the glory of the devil back. But right now, the devil has authority and power upon the earth. You don't believe that? Why is there very few going to heaven in comparison to all of those that are going to hell? Because the power of the prince of the air. All right? This happened at the fall. Somewhere or another, we got to tie, we got to be able to tie this together. Brother Micah, you can look in Luke chapter number 4. I don't know exactly what verse it is, but it's very, very close. I'm going to guess somewhere around verse 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, somewhere in that vicinity. And it's concerning the exact same thing. The devil takes him up to a high place, and he says, I will give you all this. He said, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Notice Jesus did not refute that. Okay? The devil says, this has been delivered unto me. Devil, you're in charge right now, but there is coming a day. Okay? It's not going to happen. All right. Let's not get hung up there. But he simply says, go back there. Go back, Luke. He said, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I can give it to whoever I want to give it to. It's been delivered unto me, thank you, Adam. And I can give it unto whoever I want to give it to. And Jesus, I'll give it unto you if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, here is the key in all of this. There is not an individual in the world that is not attracted somehow, some way, to power and glory. Everybody wants power, some kind of power. Just it can be different variations and of power, but they want power. And it's just the human DNA to want glory. That's the pride of the flesh, the pride of life. Everybody wants, I want you to know that I'm the one that said that. I'm the one that did that. I'm the one that suggested that. I'm the one that this. I'm the one that. Everybody wants the power and everybody wants the glory. And I would venture to say, now there are some that are not so much into this, but for the most part, everybody wants the authority as well, because it's a lot easier to give orders, amen, than to take orders and to have to go wash the toilet. It's a whole lot easier to say, look, I have the authority, you go wash the toilet. So these three things are very desirous: power, glory, and authority. And the devil is telling the one that Jesus, that God declared, thou art my son. You remember that? And I've already told you if you are, but you never challenged that. You don't have to challenge what the devil accuses you of. You don't have to challenge that. You just simply need to stay in the fact that God said it. You say, well, I don't feel it and I don't see it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to see it. You heard it. That's good enough. We walk by faith and not by sight. Thou art my son, in whom I am well pleased. And here comes the devil and says, I challenge you and you didn't accept that. But I tell you what, I'll give you power, glory, and authority if you'll worship me. Come on, somebody, because that's what it's all about. It's all about your worship. That's what it's all about.
Amen. You know why he didn't stop at temptation one? Because he didn't have the worship. You know why he didn't stop at temptation two? Because he didn't get the worship. Amen. And so he said, let's just forget this and let's go straight for the jugular. Amen. This is what I want. It's all about worship. Amen. We've talked about this. Small revelation, small worship. Great revelation, great worship. Amen. And here's the devil saying, look, I know what power there is invested into worship. And I know that God is looking for the worshipers. And I know that your worship is going to be predicated upon the revelation that you have of God. But if you've got a minuscule revelation, I can steal your worship. Amen. If you've got a small mentality, if you've got a small understanding of who God is, I'm going to be able to steal, amen, your worship. But when you understand who God is, and you understand who you are in God, and you understand that everything that God is doing for you, amen, you can stand up and you can resist the power of the enemy, the draw, the pull of the enemy in your life. Amen. That's why the devil beat you down. Hey, I know I'm preaching here right now. Amen. But that's why you have such a hard time worshiping God. Amen. Because, amen, he is soliciting, he's pulling that worship, and you don't feel that great, and you don't feel on top, and you don't feel victorious, and you don't feel like a conqueror. And the devil is saying, see, you are a nobody. But if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you power, I'll give you authority, and I'll give you glory. Amen. You want me to tell you what the wilderness is for? It's very simple. The wilderness is so, amen, that the devil can understand who you are, and so that you can understand who the devil is. And he doesn't change. Amen. The devil is sitting here, if thou art the Son of God, if thou art the Son of God. But the ending of all of this in the book of Luke chapter number 4, the Bible said that Jesus, amen, walked out of that wilderness, and that he was full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Saint of God, don't waver, don't falter, don't give in. Amen. The devil may be working you over, and you may feel like you're in a wilderness, and you may not understand everything that's going on in your life. Amen. But when it's all said and done, the devil's going to understand he is a child of God, and you're going to understand you are a deceiver, you are a manipulator, you are the enemy. Amen. And I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, you need to stand up, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Let's stand and worship him here tonight. Understanding what I don't understand. Maybe you walked into this place here tonight and you thinking to yourself, you know, I'm faithful. I pay my tithes. I give my offerings. I'm faithful to the house of God. But seriously, would you look at everything that's going on in my life? The troubles of Job. Come on. I said it was the troubles of Job. The devil's like, yeah, if you're such a child of God, why is all this bad stuff happening to you? It's because you're the devil. And you're trying to take my worship. And you come into the house of God feeling like you could crawl under a snake's belly with a top hat on. Lo, you're thinking to yourself, Bible says, lo, Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always. And you're thinking to yourself, that's a good thing because I ain't ever high. It's always so low. Life is always so rough. Life is always so unfair. He said, I'm going to be the tail, and he said, I'm going to be the head, and I don't feel like it.
He said, I was going to be from above. I don't feel like it. I don't feel victorious. I don't feel strong. I don't feel like I'm conquering anything. I don't feel like I'm winning. I don't feel like I'm getting ahead. Because all you can see is the here and the now. And that's where the devil operates. The devil operates in the moment. God operates in the eternal. And God is saying, you may not see it right now, but it's going to happen. Abraham, come on. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Oh, really? Well, I don't see that. No, you don't. You don't see that now. But that's where we're going. That's what's going to happen. You're more than a conqueror. God has called you by name. God has chosen you. God has put his name upon you, invested his power in you. And you feel so small, insignificant, vulnerable, unstable. And you're sitting here looking, sweating, rubbing your brow. God, what is going on? And I'm bringing understanding to your lack of understanding. The devil is after your worship. That's all he wants. He wants your worship. Look, we'll finish this here right now. You want a good job? I'll give you a good job. You want power? I'll give you power. Glory? Got it. Authority? We can work it. I'll give you it all. I'll give you all the kingdoms. I'll give it all. If you just stop doing what you're doing and turn and worship me. That's what it's all about. I'm encouraging somebody today. Don't give in to that spirit. You need to stand in the face of adversity. You need to stand in the face of that devil that's trying to lie to you, trying to discredit who you are, trying to tell you all of these other things. You need to stand against him, and you need to lift your voice, and you need to say, my worship is not for sale, because the Bible alone teaches me that I am to love the Lord my God, and him alone shall I worship. Don't come in here to the house of God with your head tucked, your hands hanging down, and your back slumped. That's exactly how the devil wants you to come. But when you can walk into the house of God in spite of everything that's going on in your life, and you can lay everything down at the altar, and you can lift your hands and you can lift your voice and say, God, I may not have two nickels to rub together, but that hasn't changed who you are. You're still good. God, I may be in the wilderness, in the darkest area of my life right now. But you know what, God? You're still good. And you can lift your hands and you can lift your voice and you can say, you know, I worship you. And the bigger understanding that you have of God, the greater your worship gets. And one of these days, the sun's going to shine. Amen. The rain is going to go away. And the wilderness is going to be in your past. The wilderness is going to be a testimony of how that you came through on the other side. And you're going to be able to stand and say, you know what? God's faithful. And God's good. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time to come to an altar here tonight. Come on, it's time to come to an altar here tonight. We got a little bit of time. I want you to bring your every care. I want you to bring your heartaches. I want you to bring your stress. I want you to bring your situation. I want you to bring it all. I want you to bring your wilderness. I want you to bring your wilderness to this altar here tonight. And you can say, I don't understand why I'm in the wilderness, but I understand the purpose of this wilderness. And devil, you're trying to steal my worship. It ain't going to happen. In spite of my situations, in spite of all that I go through, I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to worship. I'm not going to charge God foolishly. Come on. That can be hard to do when you're in the deep, dark dungeons of the wilderness. God, I just don't understand why everything hasn't kind of unfolded by now. God, I just don't understand why everything hasn't come about by now. Devil's after your worship. And until you can effectively stand and say, until you can stand and effectively say, devil, I'm not bowing down at your altars. I'm not in this to quit. I'm not into this to back up. You're going to stay there in that wilderness because your worship is on trial. Your worship is being sought after. Your worship is being bargained for. Your worship is trying to be auctioned off. What do I got to give you for that worship? What do I got to give you so that you'll stay silent? What do I got to give you so that you won't praise, that you won't worship? What do I have to give you so that you'll quit? What do I have to give you so that you'll walk away? What do I have to give you? There's nothing, devil. There's nothing that I desire. My worship is not for sale.